Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other.
United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please stay standing while we play the national anthem.
I like that.
the heart. He laid everything out on the line when he addressed our elected representative. He spoke the truth. And for someone in Joe's position, that is not without risk. Because he took that risk and stood up for our children collectively, thousands of people read and shared his letter. And what they read resonated. Joe boiled the entire complicated mess down to one simple but incredibly important point. The Common Core implementation and testing is hurting our children, and it has to stop. An internet sensation by sharing his words. And apparently even the voicemail we all got from Joe the other night went viral on the internet. So here we stand today, ready to do whatever it takes to protect our kids. Now we can't walk away today thinking, job well done. We must all acknowledge that this, right now, today, is only the beginning. Henry Ford said, coming together is the beginning. Keeping together is progress. Working together is success. By joining us here today, you have chosen to be a part of something tremendously important. You are committing to do something to stop this abusive system. So I have three goals for us today. Celebrate, educate, and motivate. We are going to celebrate all of our students for the wonderful, intelligent, unique individuals they are. And we are going to educate everyone we know so that they understand these tests are hurting our kids. And then we're going to motivate everyone we come into contact with to join us and stand up for students, not scores. I encourage you to use whatever technology you have in your pocket right now, to let people know you're here. Live tweet, post on Facebook, send an Instagram. Use the hashtag #StudentsNotScores and ask everyone you know to join with us. Go to our website, studentsnotscores.com, sign the petition, and forward it to your entire contact list. This is what modern day democracy looks like. We have some wonderful guests here tonight today that are going to speak to you, and I hope that throughout the day you will continue to cheer for the people who are here and the people who aren't here but support us. Because if we don't work together, we don't have a chance. But if we do work together, continually moving forward, we can't be stopped. And next speaker
represents the fourth legislative district, which is Great Shirley. And Senator Steve Engelbreit has been a strong supporter of public education and has fought in Albany for Homes to Block every chance he has had. Representatives are laying low in the face of the test score controversy. Our assemblyman sits tall with our superintendent publicly, and this is your chance to say thank you.
And the testing was something that we needed to be cautious about. in terms of how it was utilized. And I was taught this in 1968 and 69. And that's a truth that hasn't changed. That our state education commissioner should not understand that is beyond me. Because the self-esteem of our students really matters. I give you an example. My younger daughter was subjected to a test years ago in her first grade. And we got a note back and said, you know, this child really doesn't have what it takes academically. She should be relegated to a remedial course and a remedial program. And I knew that that was just not the case. I have to tell you, fast forward, that child whose self-esteem we nourished now has a doctorate in dentistry from the oldest dental school in the nation at the University of Pennsylvania. And Dr. Englewright, self-esteem is very good. Thank you very much. Thank you, microcosm of what we are all about here today, what your presence is here today. You are reinforcing the fact that testing can be taken out of context, and if imposed too early, can actually damage the potential of our children and thereby damage the reputation of our families and our communities, our school districts. I'm so very proud to stand here today with you, with the teachers of this wonderful school district, and most particularly with your extraordinary leader, Joe Rella. Joe, thank you so much for your leadership. God bless you all. I'm going to show you a message to all of you. Thank you very, very much.
I am honored to introduce all of you to the most humble person I know. With our superintendent here, there is no pretense, there's no agenda other than helping our kids. Many of us here in Fort Gestation have been bragging about Dr. Rella for years. But I think now it's time for us to share. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Joseph Rella.
Ask you to get into the shade. I mean this. I have a few things I want to say, and I don't want anybody keeling over to it, so take a moment so you can set yourselves up again. Get into the shade, will you please? People up here, I was dying sitting over here. Come on, get comfortable. This is wireless, right?
Yeah.
Hey, come on. Get out of the sun. Come on.
But I want to thank all of you. You give us hope. Make us strong. I would also like to thank Dr. Diane Ravitch.
Yes, by the Pope.
guys that put this together, the whole CompSawat team, board members, teachers, administrators, parents, and students who jumped into action, and they told me what they were going to do. You continue to blow me away. Thank you. I can't leave the thank yous without thanking my wife, Jackie. I've been ranting about this for a long time, but most intensely for the last week. Thank you, sweetheart. I also thank God I was on vacation this past week because I wouldn't have gotten any work done. All right, now he said earlier, today was a
leadership, school boards, superintendents, administrators, with apologies,
to President Iannucci, not the unions, NYSEG, AFT, UFC, not even Beth Bonino. Now, I want to tell you something. She does everything. She plans a rally, makes the phone call, sends out the postcards and emails, speaks at the rally, gets the food, cleans up afterwards, follow up phone calls, and plans the next rally. I would have bet. Yeah, what happened? And every damn time that she has free, she's in my office yelling at me. But I would have bet the ranch that by now she would have worn them out. Even she couldn't get it done. Well, we'll talk about it. Because we can't let anything stand in the way of what we have to do. We can't. Our state representatives, these two guys can't do this alone. Assembly McGrath has a bill. Let him frame it, put it up on his wall. Nobody helps him. I want to say something. That's a good question. But today, for today, this has to be our only issue. Single-minded. Because otherwise, the attention that's paid to this office will be they complained about this or they complained about that. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is that the Common Core in New York State, the testing and implementation of the Common Core, is hurting our children. Needs to stop now. So, state representative, even rallies didn't get done. 20,000 plus in Albany. You know, not one word was covered down here on Long Island. Did you guys see anything? Did you hear anything? Call it invisible? Yes. Yes. We can't be invisible anymore. We can't. All the things we know, no one is going to rescue us. Sporadic, separate efforts have not worked. They could. But we're here today. None of the rhetoric that we used in the past has really been effective. It's okay for the moment, but it hasn't pushed it over. So what do we do? It's clear that we have to find a different way to get our message out statewide. Let's talk about today for a minute. Last Thursday, I wrote a letter to each of our state legislators in light of the release of the task force. I also wrote a letter to our parents in anticipation of the avalanche of negative press and press releases from the state, filled with lots of spin, lots of magical thinking. What you do now in third grade will determine if you're going to college. Why? Who decided that? Where is there any evidence of that? Nowhere. It's when a baseball player wears his socks for 2 weeks and doesn't wash it because that means he'll get a hit. Magical thinking. So I posted these letters on the district website on Thursday night. We're closed Fridays during the summer. Now, normally during the summer, first week in August, that website we get about 30 hits. Friday morning, I woke up. My email box was full, crazy. Phones ringing, people calling from Texas, people calling from New Hampshire, an email from Indonesia. I'm not lying. All over the state. In fact, he went to kindergarten here, that guy. And he was on Diane Ravitch's blog and said, I'm the guy from Indonesia. And he talked about it. You go on there. It's the one where she said I was a hero. That piece has comments. One of the comments is that fellow from Indonesia. So I knew something had happened. Now, I'm a technology immigrant. You can tell a technology immigrant because a technology immigrant will send you an email, then call you up and say, hey, did you get my email? So I couldn't really figure out for a second what was happening. But I knew It was apparent that some of the things I said in those letters found resonance elsewhere. And they did. And it hasn't. I'm also convinced, because last week, I do a phone message to the district, usually every week, but I did it in preparation for this. So the next day, I looked at my stuff, and there's me talking on somebody's website in Utah. Now, as you can tell if you've heard it, it's not really scripted. So I wish people would leave me alone.
We're listening,
Doctor. That is. Well, I'm convinced. I'm a Facebooker now, too. And I'll be back to Twitter. Tweet. But I'm convinced if I sneeze over here today, when I get home and check my Facebook, they'll say, God bless you, put somebody in a list. So what did you learn from this? That's the way we're going to get our message out. Social media is also the most effective, no spin, no filtering medicine around. We'll get the news out before anybody else does. Papers are folding because that's not the way people get their news anymore. Right? I say I have to read the funnies. I buy the papers on something. I won't buy news name. All right, so that's the way this occurred today. That should tell us something. I didn't send this out. I didn't know to put it anywhere. Now I do. But back then I didn't. So social media is going to win. Because I have to tell you, 20,000 wasn't noticed. The headline tomorrow is going to be, Rella hates Newsday and wants Commissioner King for it. I have no comment on either of those. I am not objecting to that particular view. All right, so what happened to Joe? Now, a great philosopher when I was a boy was Popeye. And Popeye would get to the point in every cartoon where he would say, that's all I can stand. I can't stand no more. That's all I can stand. Keith Tess, they say fancy now, it's the tipping point. Popeye. I reached my Popeye moment. Any test designed to have 70% of the children taking it fail is abusive. Period. He's going that way. We were told it was going to happen back last November, December. Any test designed to have 70% of the children taking it fail is abusive. My first responsibility as superintendent is not education. It's safety. That's what the regulations say. I have to provide a safe environment for students, physically and emotionally. There is even a state law outlawing bullying. That's a dignity for all students there. We don't let students engage in this behavior. Clearly, we cannot and we will not let anyone else bully our children. And that kind of bullying, emotional bullying, is much more insidious because you don't see the black and blues. They're on the inside. We've been focusing on our children, and rightly so. But I need to let you also think about it. Our children are connected to families who have been stressed, some severely so, watching their children's upset and anxiety at taking the test and now awaiting, as Gina said, the impending assault on their self-concept as the grade reports go home. Children are also connected to administrators and teachers, and they have families. They have been under an almost constant assault for the past 3 years, supported by a barrage of sustained criticism in the media. I'm with them every day. I see what they are going through. Now, what do you think their families are going through? We are constantly hearing about how educational system doesn't measure up compared to educational systems in many other countries in the world. I submit that educators aren't treated the way they are here in any other place in the world. Educators are valued. I have to ask the question, what's right about what's going on? What's right about any initiative that puts families in turmoil, puts dedicated people in fear of losing their livelihoods, and now the ultimate obscenity, damaging a child's self-image and altering, perhaps permanently, a child's self-definition? They should be ashamed of themselves.
Maintain, and I've been guilty of this,
If we maintain the belief that the problems we have been experiencing over the last 3 years or so are coming from there, from them doing something to us, then we are helpless to effect change. Only they can stop the pain then. They are not going to do that. Once, however, we recognize that we are also connected to our own problems in terms of a unified voice and not being effective at that, then we have some control over our destiny. Then we can effect change. The tone, in terms of our rhetoric, we need to tone it down a little bit. On one level, it's very satisfying. I'm Italian. I love to yell about things. It raises the blood pressure, but it has not raised serious interest or hasn't generated the response we've wanted. Also keep in mind, and this is really important, they know who we are. They know us. Whatever incomprehensible initiative has been thrust upon our teachers and administrators, their response has always been the same. How are we going to get this to work for the kids? We don't want the kids to feel us. Parents do exactly the same thing. Property tax caps, cutting programs, larger class sizes, reorganizing schools, less activities, paying more, getting less. How are we going to make this work for the children? They know that. They depend on that. That's what teachers do. That's what parents do. We turn ourselves inside out to ensure that our children won't get hurt. Indeed, our children have been the light shining through the darkness of these past years. Walk into any school building. Be around those kids. You don't think about any of these things because you're blinded by the light of the children. And it's not as if we won't continue to behave in exactly the same way, but we shouldn't have to. We shouldn't have to. Secretary, does numbers matter? Numbers matter. One of the first questions I was asked in a phone call last week was, how many emails did you get, Joe? Ding! That stuck in my head. 20,000 wasn't the right number. Social media will be the vehicle for getting our message out, for communicating with each other, and for communicating with the governor, the regents, the commissioner, and our legislators. And then, at least weekly, email, tweet, call. We need to get their attention. It can't just come from here. But remember, there is no more here. Here is anywhere all of us gather together out there. That's where we got to gather. That's the new here. Anywhere we gather together out there. And all of this can be done, ladies and gentlemen, from the comfort of your home. In minutes, we will create moments when we can gather every group speaking in one mighty, unified voice. Think about it. Hundreds of thousands of voices whispering is a mighty roar. Think about it. We will be heard. We will not stop until we are. The Common Core standards have been characterized by some as a grassroots movement. You're not allowed to have a national curriculum. I think that the fathers, the clause in the Constitution that say education is the right of the states.
Yeah.
The states. They can say that. $4 billion was definitely from the states. And if you wanted to raise the bar, and if you wanted to get a piece of that, you had to adopt the Common Core curriculum. So it's a grassroots move. I want to say something. If this thing goes right in the next weeks and months, they are going to be schooled in what a grassroots movement looks like. those efforts are separately, no matter how good individual efforts are, we must be united. So let today, August the 17th, 2013, be the day that we found our collective voice. We came with our districts, families, communities. We're wearing our school colors, union logos, slogans. Everybody, all at once, shout out the name of your district. I didn't understand anything you said. All right, everybody, all at once, shout out the name of your community. So, we came separately, but we must not leave united with a laser-like focus, one issue, one voice. Now let's try it with Stop and Fix It traffic. Ready? Clean your ass off now. That was before this Stop and Fix It was strong. Now, every movement needs a unifying symbol. I'm suggesting that the green laces are that. Well, if I can think of it, I'm not suggesting it at all. You are. Those green laces will serve as a constant reminder that children are being hurt by what's been happening and what we need to do about it. They were created by two brilliant, passionate, dedicated teachers. I know. Don't be redundant, Joe. They most certainly cannot be ignored. They will serve as a constant reminder and also guard against post-event drop-off. You know, well, I need reminders. I don't know about you. I need them. Like our students, most of us are good learners, but not so good rememberers. This will help me to remember. Every time I look down to tie my shoe, I have to remember this: what's happening to kids now? What am I going to do about it now? All right. So, I intend to wear these every day, Joe, my secretary, until this is done. Every day. Now, if somebody's going to have somewhere, well, Dr. Rella said if you're not wearing it, then you don't support it. Don't go there. I'm not wearing a pink ribbon, but I certainly support breast cancer awareness. I'm not wearing a mosaic ribbon, but I certainly support autism awareness. I need remembering. They don't need remembering. That's why they're not wearing it. I need remembering. It also will give us heart when we see we're walking down someplace, you know, coming, you see somebody else with green laces on. Or you're one of us. Yeah. All right, now let me restate what we believe and how we're going to act. Now, I know how all of you feel about superintendents and others telling you what to do and shoving it down your throats. And I myself, in my own business, may have been guilty of this once or twice. I don't really recall any times, but it could have happened. So I would like to put this as a motion before this magnificent assembly. A motion to approve the following resolution. Whereas the New York State Common Core Initiative, Implementation, and Testing Regimen hurts children. And whereas we believe that our children are a light, a beacon, and that this light is in serious jeopardy of being extinguished by this abusive initiative. Now, therefore, be it resolved. We call upon the governor, the regents, the commissioner of education, and the state legislature to call a halt to it immediately and have it examined by educators. If it is capable of being fixed, fix it. If it is not, then throw it out. Scrap it. Stop it. Fix it. Or scrap it. Do I have a second for that? Is there any discussion?
No.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Hearing none, the motion carries.